May it please God to bless us together this morning as we meditate in his word. Let us turn to the first book of Samuel, chapter 7, and we'll read verse 12. The first book of Samuel, chapter 7, and reading verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." It is quite clear from this statement that Samuel did not want Israel to forget the wonderful deliverance that had been granted to them. And it's interesting to realise that at this place of this victory, they had not many years previously been defeated by the Philistines on two occasions. And on this occasion, it really was a wonderful victory, and what a wonderful influence there was from God himself. And as we read the accounts in the Word of God, there are many situations and circumstances where we can observe God interfered, we might say. God ordained that there should be something rather special. And there was on this occasion, because what did the Lord do? He thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Well, perhaps we know that when thunder is very loud and very near, and the lightning flashes, it's very frightening, and it's very, very powerful. I remember one occasion a few years ago when we were in the Lake District. I think Frank was with me on that occasion, and we were there, and the lightning came right down very close and struck a rock, and it spitted and spat some little influence of the great power of God in that shaft of lightning. So it's not surprising here that when God did this, and we're told that it thundered with a great thunder, it wasn't just a little quiet, it was very loud, and no doubt they were disquieted, and therefore it made them easy prey to Israel. Well, God clearly gained the victory. And having gained the victory, then Samuel took this stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Well, we might think that's a good thing to do, and you young people might remember perhaps that there had been stones set up in our own country to remember important occasions of victories. You only had to think of Trafalgar Square and Nelson's Column, with Nelson on the top. And what did it illustrate? It showed that there was a great victory at Trafalgar, and Nelson, of course, was the admiral of that fleet that gained the victory, and therefore that wonderful big statue was erected. And when you go there, you cannot but notice it. You can't but notice, well, there is a great column, and you must automatically think, why is it there? And when you think of Nelson, well, was not Nelson there? It's because there was a great victory. And I think there was no doubt, even on that occasion, God helped the British to that wonderful victory. And so we should think of these things and remember how God did help. Well, here was this occasion when this stone was taken. And of course there are other occasions in the Word of God. There are really quite a lot of occasions in the Word of God when stones were taken. But just refer to a couple of occasions. And in the book of Joshua, we read in the fourth chapter of that book, and we read in Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan. You remember that's when they came across Jordan. It was a wonderful occasion for Israel. It was a time when they were going to come out of the wilderness, across Jordan, and therefore he set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Well, what was it for? It was so that they would remember how God appeared for them, how God indeed helped them on that occasion. And then there was another occasion, and we read of in the 22nd chapter of this same book, where again the children of Israel were blessed, and we're told, and Phinehas the son of Eleazar the priest and the princes returned from the children of Reuben and from the children of Gad as the land of Gilead unto the land of Canaan to the children of Israel, and brought them word again. And a thing pleased the children of Israel, and the children of Israel blessed God, and did not intend to go up against them in battle, to destroy the land wherein the children of Reuben and Gad dwelt. And the children of Reuben did. The children of Reuben and the children of Gad called the altar Ed, for it shall be a witness between us that the Lord is God. That was when, of course, Israel had conquered all those lands in Canaan, and the two tribes, Reuben and Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh went back across the river, across Jordan, to have that land which they desired and had been given to them. And what they decided to do was to erect this big altar so that they would not forget. And when Israel first of all heard of it, they thought they were erecting an altar they were going to worship, and they were very distressed. Excuse me. But when they came and asked the people, and they explained what they'd done it for, so that their children and their children's children would see this and would remember the great deliverance, and would also remember the true way to worship God. So here was that which was erected on that occasion. Well, there are other examples in the Word of God, but here we have today this statement. Samuel then taking this stone, and he wanted therefore to erect it so that the children of Israel, whenever they saw it, would remember what the Lord had done for them. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. That means up to the present moment of time. Well, that should be true in all of our lives. To think that we can say today, hitherto, up to the present time. We don't know what the future holds, do we? But you know, if the Lord has helped us thus far in our lives, surely that should be a wonderful encouragement to believe he will continue to help us. He won't leave us, and he won't forsake us. And we realize here that Samuel took this stone and he called it Ebenezer, which it really means the stone of help. Well, here was a good example we have here in this account of what Samuel did for the purpose of reminding Israel of the wonderful deliverance that they'd had. And I suppose the relevance of that for us today is firstly to realize the goodness and the mercy and the favour of God, and to secondly recognize that it does speak to us really with regards to not forgetting the helps that God has done for us. We don't tend to keep diaries like perhaps our forefathers did. Some of you may, but I don't. But I do remember my father used to keep a diary, and every day he would write those things, just a few things which had occurred in that day. And amongst all the many things were those helps that he had received. And therefore he would have been able to look back in those diaries and recall those things which God had done for him over the years. He never threw his diaries away, and I think as a family we still have them. So it's a record of God's mercy and of God's favour. Well, today we should perhaps not write everything down every day, but when the Lord does help us in a particular way, to write it down would be a good thing. And that can be over a variety of things. It can be in our daily life. It can be in our school days, when God perhaps has helped us, perhaps in exams. Perhaps we've had a situation where we may have been bullied by people, and the Lord has changed the situation and delivered us from that. Well, what does it really mean? It means that the Lord has helped us. And it's a good thing to write down such helps that the Lord has done, because it is really for the honour and glory of His great and holy name. And surely that should be our concern, our continued concern, to recognise what God has done for us. And so, here we have this example. It's a fairly well-known example, as indeed most of the examples are when stones were taken and erected. But here, it would seem it was just a single stone. It wasn't gathering stones together, it was a single stone, and it was a single stone to recall a certain deliverance, a certain blessing. And if you ponder this, I think, well, if they came back perhaps and passed that way, where this stone was set up, and then think, yes, that was a wonderful day when the Lord appeared, the Lord helped us, but we would have been defeated again, as the Philistines had done on previous occasions. But this time the Lord intervened, and by His help we gained the victory. Well, what a blessing in your life and my life if we can also recall times when the Lord intervened in our lives. Yes, it's a mercy, isn't it, when God hears and answers prayer, because, you know, the concern here was that Samuel was asked, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that He will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. They realized the importance of prayer. And may we realize the importance of prayer. And here was his statement, cease not to cry unto the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Thessalonians, he encouraged them to pray without ceasing, to pray often, and to really pray all the time as we walk about the streets and go about our work, to remember to pray to God. Now, this was a great time of need. You and I may have great times of need. We may have lesser times of need as we may consider it, but nonetheless, in all our times of need, we should cry to God that He will help us. And we can be sure of this, that if we cry in a right way, if we pray in a right way, that He may grant us the victory, because it's not of our ability and not of our skill and not of our understanding. You see, Israel here, they couldn't say, well, it was all our great skill that we had that we managed to gain the victory. No, it was God that sent the thunder. And so in our lives, sometimes God appears and opens ways, opens doors. There may have appeared to be no way through. God opens doors. God's our helper. God shuts doors. And that's a good thing as well. Yes, God helps us in that way. We don't always like it when doors are shut. But you know, when you pray for God's help, when you pray for God's direction, it should be with an open mind, submitting yourselves to the will of God, so that when the door is shut, you don't say, well, I didn't want that. You're able to say, well, that's the purpose of God. And that's the answer to my prayers. And God's helped me in it. So don't be disappointed and don't be surprised when perhaps an answer comes in the opposite direction to what we may have been expecting. God's ways, don't forget, are higher than our ways. And we should always remember that, to realise that when God works for us, when God appears for us, when God helps us, doesn't always work out in accordance to our little plans, which are always, of course, filled with wrong desires and pride and everything else. Well, Samuel then took this stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called it Ebenezer, saying, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Well, what a blessing today if you and I can look back in our lives and be able to say from our heart the truth of these words, yes, whether we haven't always realized it or not, yet the fact is true, he has helped us. Sometimes he's helped us when we haven't really prayed for it. And that's sad, isn't it? But you know what a blessing it is and how humbling it is when God does come and help us. And then we look back and we realize, well, I couldn't have done that myself. God's helped me. And God's instructed me. Well, there are, so, you know, many wonderful occasions, really, with regard to God's help and God setting up stones, or at least people. We think of Jacob when he left his father and mother and went out to Haran. He was a lonely person, wasn't he? He didn't know what was in store. And he lay down at night, put a stone for his pillow, and the Lord appeared. And he saw the angels of God ascending and descending from earth to heaven. What a comfort that was to him. Yes, he laid the stones. He gathered the stones together so that when he came and came across it again, he might remember the wonderful appearance of God for him and to him. You know, the outlook wasn't very good. It was totally unknown to him, wasn't it? He didn't know what the future was holding. And of course, we don't at all. But God does. And therefore, God does sometimes give wonderful encouragement to realize that we are walking that way which is the right way. He encouraged Jacob to show to him he was indeed walking in that right way. And he helped him. He helped him. Well, has God helped us? Has God helped us? I hope we can say. I hope we can look back. You know, it's good to examine ourselves and to try and remember the times that the Lord has helped us. You think, you go home today and think perhaps how the Lord's helped you. You know, you children, of God willing, are going to recite some texts that you've learnt. And, you know, you will need God's help. You will need God's help to remember those things, because your mind could just go blank, couldn't it? And, you know, God can make a mind go blank so you can't remember anything. So it's a good thing if God comes and blesses you with his help this afternoon, so that we are indeed able to say that the Lord has helped us. There was an occasion in the history of Israel when the Lord helped Israel. And we read in Chronicles in the 5th chapter and the 20th verse, "And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into their hand, and all that were with them. For they cried to God in the battle, and he was entreated of them, because they put their trust in him." God helped them. God heard that prayer. God answered that prayer, and he helped them. What a wonderful favour for us then, to come to God in prayer and to then be able to acknowledge the Lord has helped us, so that you and I may be able to perhaps erect stones, perhaps not in a physical way, but perhaps in a written way. We may sit down and write what God has done for us and how he has appeared for us. You know, I remember that well-known occasion, of course, in the life of Jehoshaphat. Well, Jehoshaphat was a man of God, but he was an ordinary man. And he was fearful. And he came to pray to God. And we read a number of things about Jehoshaphat, but just one. And it came to pass when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat that they said, "It is the king of Israel." Remember, he had dressed up as the king, as he was, and also Ahab had taken off his garments so that he wouldn't be found as king. And here Jehoshaphat was. And it is the king of Israel. Therefore they compassed about him to fight. But, and I hope we've got some buts in our life. But Jehoshaphat cried out. And what happened? Did God ignore him? And the Lord helped him. And God moved them to depart from him. You see, he didn't have to get his sword and fight all these people. The Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him. And you see, such an occasion and such a victory, as we referred to previously, is very clearly the work of God. And it's a wonderful evidence in our lives when we are, as it were, dormant. We've prayed. We've committed our ways to the Lord. We've cried unto him mightily, perhaps. And then the Lord's appeared. And then the Lord's done that for us which we couldn't do for ourselves. And we realise it was the work of God. Well, here was Samuel then concerned that Israel might not forget it was the work of God. And it's so important, is it not, in our lives today, to not forget it is the work of God. And not forget that it is his help that we've been blessed with. Well, we know that David on so many occasions was helped in his life. And he tells us a number of occasions, with just a few, just to encourage us, because you think of David's life, he had many difficult times, didn't he? In battle, chased by Saul, and yet God helped him. Psalm 28, we read, "Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." The Lord is our strength, and he is a saving strength of his anointed. Well, here was a clear evidence of David's confidence in his God. He'd come to him, hadn't he, believing the Lord would hear. You see, we are to come to God in prayer, believing the Lord will hear. We're not praying to the unknown God like the Athenians were. We're praying to the ever-living God, the true God. And so, here is David able to confirm that the Lord had heard his prayer, and the Lord is his strength and shield, and he trusted in this same God who helped him. Well, it's a great blessing, is it not, for us to realise today we worship the same God. That same God who does not change. I am the Lord, I change not. In the 54th Psalm, David tells us, it is a psalm when the Ziphims came and said to Saul, "Doth not David hide himself with us?" David needed deliverance. David needed help. What are we told? "Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. Yes, he shall reward evil unto my enemies, cut them off in thy truth." And he says, "I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. So when the Lord has helped us, the Lord has answered prayer, we are to acknowledge it. We're not to just bury it and forget about it. We are to acknowledge the goodness of God, because God is worthy to be praised, and surely he is if he's helped us in all our times of need. And then there's the well-known psalm, in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see, a very present help in trouble. He's a very present help at all times. But what a mercy, isn't it, when you and I are in trouble, and we will be in trouble. You and I won't get through life without many troubles. But what a favour it is that when we are in these troubles, to realise that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The Lord is with us. You may not always think of it like that. When you're in trouble, you're not alone. God is with you. What a blessing, therefore, to have the testimony that God has helped you in the trouble and brought you out of the trouble in ways which perhaps were much higher than your ways. Let us never forget, God's ways are higher than our ways. Our ways are very limited, very limited. But what a blessing it is that God's ways are so high and glorious. And Isaiah tells us, he's a prophet, as we know, who was wonderfully instructed by the Lord, and he tells us in the 44th chapter, he says, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen." It's good sometimes to just sit down and listen to God speaking. Just calmly listen to what God's saying. And what does God say here? "Thus saith the Lord that made thee." That should bring us down inside, shouldn't it? To realise that God is speaking to us as those who he's made. "And form thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen." We do fear, don't we? But here we have such an encouraging word, to fear not. Why? Because God's going to help us. God's going to help us. God's going to take us by the hand, as it were, and lead us on, support us in every time of need. Yes, so, which will help thee. Well, may we thank God that we can have a God. You know, there are all those gods today that people worship, the Hindus and the Muslims and etc. And they all worship a false God. A God who cannot help them because they are no gods. But today we have the ever-living and true God. Well, you know, we've looked at the Old Testament, we can look at the New Testament, and we can think of the Apostle Paul, can't we? We're familiar, I'm sure, with the life of the Apostle Paul and how he was upheld and how the Lord helped him on so many occasions. And, you know, when he was speaking before King Agrippa on that wonderful occasion, and he was able to speak to him, he wasn't fearful. He declared the whole counsel of God, not fearing for his life. And he tells that austere company these words, "Having therefore obtained help from where? Of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." Well, He was helped wonderfully of God, wasn't he? And you know what also Paul was blessed with, and all the church of God are blessed with, and that is this: to be helped to understand the great and glorious plan of salvation. Now, naturally, we can read about it, we can understand it in theory, but when the Spirit of God shines light into our hearts, he helps us then to understand the great and glorious truth of it as it's applied to our own hearts. And that is an amazing blessing. And how you and I should rejoice today if we have received the help of the Holy Spirit to appreciate and understand that great plan. It's a plan that you and I could never have worked out or put into action ourselves. But you see, God, from the beginning of Genesis right to the end of Revelation, we see that wonderful plan as it was worked out, as it was fulfilled, and as it brought honour and glory to God. And my friends, it will do just that, you know. And here was this statement. What happened? Samuel wanted to acknowledge what God had done. His help. He wanted to acknowledge it. And therefore, he set this stone up. If God comes and blesses our souls, he helps us to understand the great doctrines of the Word of God. You'll be thankful for it. And your desire to acknowledge that he it is who has helped you. You think, helped you to understand what you are by nature. A black, unrepentant, hard-hearted, rebellious sinner. And you've been, like Paul was, proud of it. Yes, didn't want to have anything to do really with God. And yet, if the Lord has helped you to understand yourself. You and I don't want to do that naturally. It's a blessing when the Spirit of God helps us to understand ourselves and to show us how bad we are, not how good we are, how bad we are. And then you see, to bring us to that point that we see there's no good in ourselves. You look for it, we can't find it. What does it do then? I believe it does this. It drives us out of ourselves, and it drives us by the Spirit's aid to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You think of that lovely illustration in Numbers, where Israel were passing through the wilderness and they sinned against God, as they also often did, and the Lord sent those serpents to bite them, and they were so poisonous when they were bitten they died, and hundreds and thousands were dying. The Lord commanded Moses to make that brazen serpent, to put it on a pole and hold it up, and to tell the Israelites who were bitten to look to that pole, to that brazen serpent. And those that looked lived. Now that's a lovely illustration for our consideration as we think of the way of salvation. That those who are bitten, as we all are, by the serpent, the devil, so that we've sinned and we're lost and we're dying. We shall die out of Christ unless God gives us that grace to look. He gives us that help. He helps us to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as those Israelites looked and lived, so it is exactly the same today. By God's grace, as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ as our only hope of salvation, to that one who has died upon that cross at Calvary and shed his most precious blood in order to deliver our souls from the wrath to come, it's his help that we received to understand the great and glorious truths of the everlasting gospel. Well, what a blessing will be then if we're able then to set up a stone to make a note of what God has done for us, how it occurred, when it was done, so that his name might be honoured and glorified, and our souls would indeed be blessed. Well, the apostle, when he wrote to the Hebrews, as we know, he so beautifully illustrated so many great truths there. But in the last chapter, the Hebrews, he tells us this. He says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." It's good to have a very positive outlook, isn't it? And here the apostle, by the grace of God, is able to speak these words and say it so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What is that? Honouring and glorifying our God, is it not? He has helped us, therefore hitherto, will help us all our journey through, and give us daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise. Well, here were the words of the apostle directed to the Hebrews so many years ago, and how appropriate are they for us, because he goes on to say, "Remember them which have the rule over you, and have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." And what's the end? What do you think the end is? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, what a blessing if God helps us to come to this realization of such a truth as that, that we come today to that same great God that delivered Israel on this occasion and enabled Samuel to take this stone and to set it up so that they would not forget, and called it the stone of help. The stone of help. Well, I hope today you and I are able to raise up perhaps many stones of help and be able to say to God's honour and glory, "Hitherto, up to the present moment of time, hath the Lord helped us, hath the Lord helped me." Amen.